The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Want the real story behind the sound bites and headlines? Let's find the facts. Remember, it's not a conspiracy theory if it's the truth. You are not paranoid or confused. You just need to know.
Welcome in, everybody. It's time for another edition of Need to Know. Kip Kiefer with you. And this week, I thought we would get back on track and talk about contemporary issues. We took kind of a break from that last week as I waxed poetic about one of my heroes from my youth, who amazingly to some people is and was considered a major activist, hard to believe, a liberal that admired by Kip Kiefer. But let's get back on track this week and talk about real life and what's happening in our world a little bit. It's something I think you all are certainly aware of, but maybe I can frame it in a way that you definitely need to know so that everybody will have more of a grasp of exactly what we're kind of dealing with. And again, I don't come to you with an ideological slant or anything but common sense and piecing the obvious facts together, because after all, truth is not ideology. Truth is facts. And we've talked about that many times. We're dealing with a movement that says we don't care about facts, we care about truth. Well, what their truth is to fit their agenda are not facts, and that is what we try to give you here. We are, everybody, it's not December of 1941. I'm not Franklin Roosevelt, but I can tell you that the declaration of war has already begun, and this is not something, you know, I talk to people all the time. A lot of them will use the hilarious line to me that, well, I don't really follow politics. I don't watch the news. You know, all that's fine to stay in your own vacuum and stay in your own lane and try to just, you know, accept the fact that there's things that you don't control and are happening that you don't really have any influence on. But you need to know that right now the war has already begun on our culture, our way of life, our country, our individual liberty. And guess what? This is not the traditional picture of war that I think everybody has, with armies carrying flags and marching with their weapons into battle. The lines are a lot different now. Everything's blurred. It's not one nation against another. You will still hear all of the pundits talking about the conflicts between the Americans and the Russians and Americans and the Chinese. This war is not conventional in that sense. This, again, is a war to, once again, get this nefarious team of opponents who are the strangest of bedfellows, but all united in one common cause, which has brought them not necessarily to the table together, but working in a cooperative way, each providing an essential element bent on one thing and one thing only, to finally, in their view, eradicate something that's been going on for 2.5 centuries, this experiment called the United States of America, where it is government of the people, for the people, by the people, and it's supposed to be representative government where you and me and all of us are the voices that determine how our country exists and determines how things run, laws, procedures, traditions, you name it. It all emanates from the individual liberty that we all enjoy. And that has been hijacked in recent times. So it's very important for everybody listening to this broadcast to understand that this is not a war between armies and soldiers. You, me, all of us are already under attack. You are on the front line, whether you pay attention, have your head in the sand, you know, try to sleep through it, try to distract yourself with video games or movies or whatever else that you might be into. You are a combatant because you are the target in this particular situation. That nefarious group I talked about, well, let's talk about who is involved on the other side of the battle lines, because again, they're pretty much in the shadows, or if they're visible, they're not straight on combatants. We're not lined up in battalions and getting ready to exchange fire. Their attack has already begun, and they are counting on your passivity and your indifference to win this war. And, you know, some of the people, and I'll leave some of them out because I can't think of them all, but you've got one extremely powerful government bent on the economic control of everything. And as we've talked endlessly on this show, and I know all of you have probably gotten tired of hearing it, it all comes down to the same thing that it's always come down to in the history of the world. It's economics. It's who controls the purse strings. It's who has all of the wealth that can use that, parlay that into acquiring all of the power and all of the control. And the Chinese Communist Party has made a tremendous, you know, evolution, I guess you can say, from the earliest, the mid-century in the 20th century of taking control of China and all of its holdings. And they have acclimated over the years. They've really kind of bastardized the whole concept of a communist system, because they understood that isolationism, which was their policy for many years, just stay out of our business, let us do what we're going to do. They finally recognized that that was not achieving the goals that they set out to make happen ideologically. They believe in their system. They believe in a totalitarian central government controls everything. And that is the system that they feel that the world needs to embrace in order for them to become the dominant power on Earth. Now, I know that sounds like a James Bond movie, some maniacal scheme to, quote, take over the world, unquote. But that is, in essence, what they're trying to do. And economics is their main weapon. They want as much produced in their country as possible and have the world absolutely reliant on all of their production for its survival. And that, of course, equates to untold economic opportunities for the Chinese Communist Party and control of the world's needs parlays once again into their control of everything that happens throughout the planet. And they've methodically been going about this plan for a number of years. It started back in the Clinton administration in earnest, when all of a sudden the Chinese, who received a few years before Richard Nixon, the first American president to set foot on the Chinese peninsula since the communist overthrow, that was the signal that they were now looking to the West and looking to assert themselves as a power on the world stage. When Bill Clinton campaigned actively for the Chinese to be accepted into the World Trade Organization and to really have ties with all kinds of traditional entities that were in place, including many, many agencies of the United Nations, all of a sudden the Chinese, who had no interest previously in being involved in any of that, were involved in a big way, including the World Health Organization, which we've talked about when the plandemic was unleashed on the world. The very compliant now subset of Chinese government, the World Health Organization, said nothing to fear here. It's not even a communicable disease. There's no human transmission. That was absolutely nonsensical. That was not based on science or any health expert's opinion. That was propaganda to get people to have their guard down as long as possible, including President Donald Trump, because I think it shocked them after those proclamations, backed up, of course, by, yes, sir, good old Tony Fauci and the National Institute of Health, assuring everyone that all is well. Donald Trump saw through that and imposed an immediate travel ban, which probably saved millions and millions of American lives to cut travel off. And I don't think they thought he would do that. That's why they rolled out that whole "it's nothing to fear" card, when clearly it was a great deal to fear, particularly for people that were vulnerable and of older age. And we know that whole sad story. We don't need to rehash that, that millions of people around the world died, and many of them isolated from their families, not able to be in contact with them. It was just an insidious, terrible thing that was unleashed on the world. So that being said, the Chinese Communist Party pulling a lot of strings, getting a lot of influence, weaseling their way into all kinds of traditional bureaus and agencies, all of a sudden becoming very active. And they have moved forward in that planning to coordinating what is something that's really upsetting the apple cart of American life. And that is the whole energy independence issue. When Donald Trump left office, America for the first time in decades was 100% energy independence. We did independent. We did not have to rely on the Middle East or insidious, awful governments like Russia or Venezuela for energy any longer. The Americans were producing because we have the resources to produce unlimited fossil fuels and other natural elements, and have learned how to refine those elements in a much cleaner, energy efficient way. But you would think it was still the turn of the previous century by the way that the climate change crowd bangs the drum and talks about how, you know, that the destruction of the world is imminent. It's only 11 years unless we stop now. Stop driving cars, stop farming, you know, cattle. All of the things they mention are just ridiculous in terms of thinking that a planet that has been here for 4.5 billion years is suddenly going to be impacted by this kind of disruption of basically 140 years of industrial revolution. It's absolutely ridiculous. If you think about it in those terms, apply some common sense. Climate change is not the greatest threat to our planet. This insidious takeover with people that are inclined to actually believe these very contrived, very sketchy facts. And again, the main propagator of pushing that agenda is the Chinese. And you might ask yourself, well, why is that? Well, let's take a look at what's happening right now in our country. Joe Biden has declared no gas or internal combustion engines that rely on fossil fuels need to be produced after 19. I can't remember the specific year, but it was the early 19 or the early 2030s. So basically, in the next 10 years. He has issued an executive order that those production of those kind of vehicles needs to stop. We need to go all electric. In a military hearing asking for appropriations from the Armed Forces Committee in the Senate about 2 weeks ago, a general in full uniform came and proudly announced that they were asking for $9.5 billion additional dollars in this year's budget. Guess for what? For the funding and development of electric tanks, because they will help the environment. Tanks. Now, we're worried about war weapons being energy efficient and not causing a carbon footprint. The insanity is getting to the point where it's inescapable to make the conclusion that the world has gone absolutely mad. I don't imagine on some battlefields, if there's conventional warfare, first of all, I don't know why we need $9.5 billion in new electric tanks. Conventional battles, right now, even what's happening in Ukraine is basically lobbing missiles. It's not the theater of battle that we saw with Rommel and the American and British forces in Northern Africa in World War II. The world is different. Warfare is different. Battles are different. But this whole climate change thing is fueled again by that same entity, because guess who is the mass producer of the elements that are needed for this big transition to electric and solar energy over fossil fuels, which America has plenty of, but it becomes obsolete and useless, basically, if we don't produce that energy for our own needs and rely on other parts of the world. And if we make this grand transition to electric cars, electric weapon systems, et cetera, no more the conventional heating of homes through electricity or gas, it becomes, because that push, of course, is for solar energy. All of the materials that are produced that are necessary, lithium and cobalt and manganese, that's a couple right off the top of my head. These are all elements that, guess who produces those on a mass scale? Yes, you guessed it, China. And guess how they fuel the plants that process all of these minerals and all of these elements and turn them into giant solar panels and all the other batteries and whatnot that are required for this great reset, this major transition. Those plants in China are fueled by, get ready for this, coal. C-O-A-L, coal, which has been basically outlawed in the United States because it's bad for the environment. But the Chinese, who are pushing the whole climate change agenda, because the world would have to turn to them to buy all of the products necessary to make this happen, their plants to do this responsible thing for the world are fueled by the same element that is number one on the hit list in America to get rid of, coal. That irony, that hypocrisy should strike you and strike you hard. The other reason that we are under siege from this terrible group of enemies that we can't see and don't really have conscious knowledge of is because every American that has children have skin in the game, because your children are one of the biggest targets in all of this. Look at what's happened just in the last couple of years since this beyond sad excuse for a chief executive has been put in his position to be our chief executive officer of the United States. Although anybody who thinks that President Joe Biden makes any decisions is absolutely in need of serious treatment, because this guy is a puppet on a string, and it's fine with him because he's never had an original thought. His influence has been for sale on the market for his entire life in public office, and he is riding the benefits all the way to the bank, as his family has. That's why he's never had a real job. He served in politics his entire life. But your children are on the battle line because they are being assaulted. The creation of the Department of Education back during the Carter administration in the 70s was the first step in this direction to get this centralized big government, you know, big brother in charge of the thoughts and attitudes of the most vulnerable minds that are going to be quickly moving to adulthood. And it has worked in ways that I don't think they could have ever have imagined. Their tentacles extended to the university system, where they found like-minded people that were more than happy to spread the gospel of what an evil, terrible, insidious country this is, and that individual liberty is a terrible thing, that a big central government with all these elite thinkers are the key to making everything work. Kumbaya, this great society of peace and harmony. And it's a message that's been pounded in your children. The effort to use them as these kind of pawns to create as much chaos. Once again, remember what the main target is traditions and foundations in America. And the family is the primary cornerstone of both of those things. So destruction and creating chaos and disruption in American families is a big key. And what better way to do that than to change the perceptions and the ideas and try and indoctrinate children into believing the mantra of what they're trying to sell, and basically shrugging off their parents. And with each generation, of course, the previous generation is kind of shunned. That's a natural order of things. But now it's been taken to a whole new level because they're trying to sexualize your second grader, create options, basically present books and material that would be considered almost pornographic to minds that are not equipped and should not have any knowledge or involvement in any of these things, trying to encourage that if you're not happy you've only got two options when you're born and you don't have any options, you're either born male or female. And no matter how much propaganda they throw out at everyone to try and convince them otherwise, I think I said last week, there are 8 billion people on the planet and not a single one have come from a man yet. So it basically is male or female, and this playing God of telling people that you can switch. You have the option. If you think you're a boy and you're trapped in a girl's body, you can make the option. All of these things are methodologies to try and completely erode everything that we have held as absolute fact for so many years. And it's just a little bit of a time culture war. You see all the crime and absolute disorder in the streets, the lack of law and order, these DAs that won't even prosecute hardened criminals who have created some of insidious, terrible crimes. Again, it's all designed to just tear this country down from the inside. We have seen the enemy, and it is us, because like every great civilization, factionalism is the weapon that takes care of the task of tearing it down. Because the strongest civilizations, the greatest empires ever built, including America, are only vulnerable from within, because they build a strength and a resolve that makes them unassailable by the outside world. So all of these elements combining to try and tear down what we have and change our system is what we're facing now. And the main message this morning is you are on the front lines, folks. You've got to acknowledge that, and you've got to make the steps necessary. Speak up, not be indifferent, not be acquiescent, because that's what they're counting on. The world is changing, and if it's going to change, not for the better. And I don't fear for myself, but I have a new 2.5-year-old grandson, and I don't like thinking about the world that he's potentially going to be living in if these people succeed and tear this country down from the greatest country in the world's ever conceived to just a compliant satellite with great wealth and resources that can be used by those who want to control it. I'm Kip Kiefer. That's what we have. Don't miss Kiefer and Curry tomorrow. We're going to talk about, well, my own intelligence might be in question, but artificial intelligence is not. We're going to have some startling examples of just how far along this technology already is. It astounded me. I think it will surprise you. So don't miss that right here on Tony Curry Radio. I'm Kip Kiefer. Have a great week, everybody. Thanks for listening to Need to Know.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.